The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The text upon which our sermon for today is based is found in the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 28, as follows. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Here ends the text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose word strengthens and nourishes us, dear fellow redeemed, nothing is more substantial and satisfying than a good, solid meal. Think back to the last lavish spread of a meal that you enjoyed. Perhaps it was your Easter dinner or the feast at Christmas or last Thanksgiving. So many different foods heaped high in bowls, steaming platters of meat and potatoes, vegetables, salads, and desserts. Satisfying, wasn't it? What could possibly be more fulfilling and gratifying than a good meal like that? And good food is satisfying. It satisfies your hunger, it's a pleasure to eat, and it nourishes your body as well. Along with clothing and shelter, food is one of the three most basic needs of every human being. There is a fourth item that we all need, however, something even more basic than physical food, and that's spiritual food. If you felt a bit spiritually malnourished lately, if you felt your faith becoming weaker, if it seems like your relationship with Christ isn't quite what it used to be, then perhaps you need to pay a little more attention to your spiritual nutrition. Our text for today holds the key to satisfying a healthy spiritual diet. It lies in the words of Jesus, "I am the bread of life." Our theme today, the bread of life is food that satisfies. The crowd that met Jesus there in Capernaum that day were folks who had food on their mind. Specifically, they were thinking about the miracle that they had seen Jesus perform just one day earlier, the feeding of the 5,000. With their own eyes, they had witnessed Jesus turn 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish into an overwhelming and satisfying meal for over 5,000 people. It was free food, all you could eat. And for the impoverished rural people of the environs of Capernaum there, they knew that this was a man they did not want to lose sight of. So when Jesus and his disciples crossed over the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum, the crowd got into boats of their own and eagerly followed him. Now, any other religious teacher may well have been flattered by their attention and their following of him so eagerly, but not Jesus. He could read their hearts, and he knew exactly why they were following him. "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He was trying to get their minds off of free meals and onto more important things. He said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." "Work to get the food that really satisfies," Jesus said to them. Unfortunately, they heard that little word, "work," and then they went off on another tangent. As our text begins, they said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" It's a natural reaction of human beings. As soon as somebody mentions eternal life, the first question is always the same. What can I do to get it? What can I do so that God will be satisfied with me and let me into heaven when I die? What works can I accomplish to get that done? It's the same question, you may recall, that the rich young man asked of Jesus. The same question that the jailer of Philippi asked of Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? And God's answer is always the same. Only believe. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." It was the right answer to a wrong question. The only work that will satisfy God and ensure you a place in heaven is to believe in Jesus Christ. And even that really isn't a work at all, is it? Or at least it's not a work that we accomplish. It's the Holy Spirit who brings people to faith in Jesus. As Paul says in Ephesians, "You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." There's only one way to satisfy God, Jesus told the crowd, and that is by believing in me. But the people still couldn't get their minds off food. "Well," they said, "if we're supposed to have faith, then perform another miracle so that we can have that faith and believe in you. What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" they said. Well, if Jesus is going to perform another miracle, why not something else having to do with food? That seemed like a good idea. They said, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." This is another rather transparent hint. The people wanted Jesus to produce more free food. The Son of God was standing right there in front of them, and the only thing they could think about was their stomachs. "Give us food, something we can see and touch and taste, and then we'll believe you. Then we'll really be satisfied." Is that what true religion is all about? Food? You'd think so sometimes these days by looking at what a lot of churches believe and teach. Many of the mainline denominations have long ago given up focusing on spiritual food and have turned their attention almost exclusively to physical food. Every month they have bake sales and bazaars and spaghetti suppers. Volunteers take food to the elderly, collections to buy food for the homeless. They take up money to send food aid to impoverished people in third world countries. None of which are bad things, by the way, and certainly Christians ought to be in the forefront of people who care about their neighbors and provide for the physical needs of the disadvantaged. But is that the main point of our religion? To be just another kind of social service provider? Is physical food the most important thing we in the church have to offer? If it is, then what was it that Jesus meant when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone"? If it is, then what was Paul talking about when he told the Romans, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit"? No, God has given us something that is much more substantial than physical food, something that's more satisfying even than a thick steak or a fresh loaf of bread. He's given us his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." More than any other food you could name, the bread of life is food that truly satisfies. I was in a supermarket one day and I overheard a woman talking to herself. She was in the packaged meat aisle of the supermarket, hot dogs, lunch meat, and that sort of thing. And she was reading a package label and laughing to herself. "Healthy choice sausage," she said. "Ha! That's a joke." And it kind of is, isn't it? Because sausage is one of those things we always think of as not being very good for you. But the marketers will keep trying, won't they? They'll try and convince you that every one of their products is a healthy choice. If they don't say it out loud, they at least imply that their products will dramatically lengthen your lifespan and keep you from contracting all sorts of terrible diseases. The truth we all know, of course, is that what you eat for breakfast probably isn't going to have a whole lot to do with how long you live. But let me ask you this question. What if that was true? What if there was one particular food product, say a certain kind of wholemeal bread, that did give you a longer life, that was scientifically proven to add 10 years or more to the life of an average person? Would you buy it? Of course you would. I would too. We'd make very sure that we had that life-extending food for ourselves and for our families. That food exists. Jesus Christ is that food. He is the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the food that adds years to your life. Talk about a healthy choice. And not just 5 or 10 years either, but hundreds and thousands of years. In fact, eternal life is the guaranteed result for any person who partakes of the bread of life. Anyone who receives Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior by faith will receive the bread of life. And faith is really the key word there. Because faith is the means by which we consume the bread of life. A little later on in this chapter, Jesus says, the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He who eats this bread will live forever. Eating the bread of life means having faith in Jesus. And not just having faith that he exists. And not having foxhole faith either, a faith that only calls upon Jesus when a person is in terrible danger. And not rabbit's foot faith either, which trusts blindly and superstitiously without ever reading what the Word of God says about Jesus. True faith means actually relying on Christ's sacrifice that he made at Calvary. It means trusting Jesus for the forgiveness of all your sins. On the cross there on Calvary, Jesus shed blood from his hands, feet, and side. Blood that covers all of your sins, past, present, and future. That blood we will receive in the bread, that blood we will receive in the wine that we take in the Lord's Supper this morning. Jesus gave his body into death there on Calvary's cross, the body that we will receive in with and under the bread in the sacrament today. Paul says, Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Once you realize what your most important need is and how that need alone can be satisfied, there is no limit to how much of that wonderful food you can have. You can have it every day. You will be filled when you bring your sins to Jesus for forgiveness. In repentance, you can cast off the spotted garment of your own sinful flesh and your own righteousness and take on yourself the pure white robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. Jesus promises, he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And if any nagging doubts remain, if the devil continues to try and cast up the sins of your past before your eyes and whispers to you, you are not worthy, then I ask you to remember another promise Jesus made, a promise simpler still. Just a few passages after our sermon text for today, Jesus says, he who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Only come to Jesus. Only trust in him, and pardon shall be yours. By no means shall you be cast out. By no means shall you be cast out. Do you believe that? If you do, then that's all there is to it. To the question, what must I do? God answers, only believe. Let go of any merits or works or righteousness of your own and hang on tight to the perfect righteousness of Christ. And the result? You have eaten the bread of life and you will live forever. My Christian friends, this is our religion. Jesus is the bread of life, that bread that brings eternal life to the world. This bread is by far the most important gift that God has given to you and me, and it is far and away the most important gift that we could ever give to someone else. So by all means, Let's partake of this heavenly food ourselves by coming here to God's house to worship on the Lord's Day, by reading His Word faithfully in our private Bible study, by sharing it with our family and family devotions. Let's make sure we give it to our children, recognizing that the bread of life is more important to them than putting nutritious food on our dinner tables. And let's share that precious bread with those around us. As newborn babes, Peter said, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, we have tasted it, and we know the bread of life is food that truly does satisfy. Amen.